Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's the show where we normally have people who you probably never heard of, but certainly after you do hear them for the first time, would like to again. My very special guest today is Dr. Antonella Carpenter. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do?
Used to do anyway. I am a theoretical physicist, and I came into the U.S. a long time ago. And I was working for the defense industry, and I discovered, as usual, a lot of dishonesty. So I reported it to the authority, thinking that was the right thing to do, and I ended up being thrown out, fired, thrown out of the facility by security as a traitor and a whistleblower, of course. And at that time, there were no attorneys at all that were involved in whistleblowing, protecting whistleblowers. So I ended up for a few months homeless. And then eventually I started all over again. And I started in this research accidentally, purely accidentally, ended up being cancer research, even though I'm a physicist. But you know, physics covers all angles of science, so medicine is involved in it too. There is no difference. So, and that was all accidental, and ended up, I hated medicine, by the way, but I ended up in it, and I couldn't walk away because of the difference it would have made to cancer patients. And that's why I ended up using laser, which is something I've always been involved with, the study, the theoretical size and the side, and also work with laser and doing reliability studies on laser. So that was my field, and I found a way to use them, simple way to use this new, at the time they were new laser, the semiconductor laser that now are called cold lasers, and I hate that word because they're not hot or cold, they're just low power. Anyway, and I found a very simple way using a stain that will absorb the light, that particular light that is not absorbed in any significant amount by healthy tissue, and that way targeting and killing the cancer in place with heat. Hyperthermia selective, truly selective hyperthermia with something as simple as a laser, totally non-invasive, really simple way to do it. And that's when my headache more than ever started, worse than being a whistleblower. Because the medical has been fighting me big time from day one. So I decided.
Well, it's funny because the thing that's more likely to kill you than the military, statistically speaking, is the medical industry.
Absolutely. Actually, people that don't even go to war, they end up being killed. And not necessarily with cancer, with anything, you know. anything, any malady they can have is made worse by medication, and then they eventually kill you. So, but cancer is so much suffering, so much pain for the simple treatment. Just for the treatment, not the cancer, and then people get mutilated and there is no need at all for that, and they suffer through their life. It's horrible. That's why I couldn't walk away, even with all the opposition that I had. So I ended up, I said, the heck with it, I'll do it myself. And I did. And we had some really great results. And that's when all the problems started. When people started talking, results started flowing out there. And that's when all the trouble started. And I have been attacked, harassed, pushed from all directions, insulted. It's been unbelievable. And
It sounds almost identical to what's happened to Dr. Stan Brzezinski in Texas.
Not really, because he ended up... See, he was arrested, he was sued, he went to court, but he got an agreement. And he basically, yes, he's using his method, but he gave up. He's using chemo also. So he joined the system. And I never would. I never did. And I thought the whole point here is no drugs. No drugs, no drugs. No drugs whatsoever. They're not needed. You never know what they do to you. And it's always a luck of the draw. Some people might make it through without major problems, but the majority of people do suffer tremendously and they die of the side effects. So my
one thing that they did have in common, though, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you, yeah. Hi, Jenny.
This is Randy.
I'm Randy. Hi, I've been keeping quiet because she's on a roll. I'm keeping quiet. But one thing it does have in common with the Brzezinski case is, I think anyway, and other people I've talked to say the same thing, that when they went for Brzezinski in the 80s, they basically set up a model, and the way they went after Dr. Carpenter was like almost like they were filling in a template, because it had already been done once. The way the state government went after ex-patients and contacted them and tried to convince them that they were in trouble.
It's like a medical cookie cutter made of razor blades.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The only difference is... that Brzezinski was charging a fortune to patients, so he had a lot of money. I didn't. I was always charging enough to keep up the business and to keep it going. And I was targeting not the wealthy. I was targeting the middle average individual, the ones that don't have much money, just earn a living, and they never get this unique new type of treatment. So I was trying to make it affordable to everybody and helping people, because that's the point. To help people, get them away from the slavery of drugs. That's what I was doing. So I never made any money except the fact that I was repatient. I was able to keep the business going. So they started attacking, insulting me on the web. So the patient count went down and I was financially suffering. And then when that was not enough, they came up with this bogus lawsuit of somebody that claimed she had been hurt by me and she wasn't. She was doing fine. So... It was all a phony, but that lawsuit hurt me a lot. And then that I still continue on suffering and struggling, but still continue on. So what did they do? Resort to the last thing they had, FDA raid. See, and I was raided by FDA. But the thing is that in order to raid me, FDA presented to a judge, so he was signed a warrant. With phony information, and what they said was that the company was a store, not a clinic, was a store. And I was selling, yes, and I was selling adulterated drugs. Now, the stain that I use injecting into the tumor is retained by the tumor, because anything you inject into the tumor is retained. The tumor is suffering and it just doesn't reject waste that easily. So that's
what is the actual structure of the tumors? Like how do they actually operate?
Well, a tumor is basically normal tissue that has gone haywire and is constantly in growth stage. So the cells are in growth stage all the time instead of at specific times. So the thing gets bigger and bigger a lot faster, and there is too many cells in too little space. That's why it's so hard, okay? And it's just the electronic signal that tells the cell to grow basically has gone haywire. It won't shut off. That's all it is. It's nothing else.
Is that like is it almost like the nucleus of the cell has been split and the code that makes it develop and then die off as it multiplies, you know, like in perfect regeneration, is broken. Like something's broken the nucleus sort of thing, and it can't remember how to behave properly.
I think it's the growth stage of a nucleus is based by an electronic signal. And when that signal comes on, just like an alarm, then it grows. And then it goes off, and it doesn't grow anymore for a while. Okay, but it doesn't change. It doesn't change the lifespan like some people think. The cancer cells are not immortal, but out of one cell, instead of getting one and another one later, you get 100 at a time, maybe, and more and more. Even if out of the 100, one dies, you still got 99 that weren't there. See, so you get so many cells, if one dies, nobody notice. See, even if the original one dies, nobody notice because there are so many. And you need to put an end to it. It's like an electronic system. If a component of an electronic system malfunction and is in a location where you cannot easily reach, you cannot replace it, what you do, you bypass it. And that's what we do. We bypass it by taking it out by the out of the live system. You kill it with hyperthermia, it's bypassed by normal function. And it's still there, but it's dead. That's all it is. And then you have to wait for the body to flush it out, flush out all the dead tissue, which is a slow process, but it's still nothing more than a healing process. It's not cancer anymore. It's not live cancer anymore. It doesn't cause any damage. It doesn't kill people. And I think members of the medical establishment understand that. They pretend not to, but I think they do understand that. But they are considering the problem that what I do introduces, which is no more endless amount of money coming in for drugs, no more cancer society, no more Komen Foundation, no more money collected for nothing. Anymore.
Yeah. In fact, we're right in the middle of a big cancer society drive here in New Zealand, and the song for the ads, I do 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 do. You know, this real sad. Oh, isn't it really bad? And the thing is, it's called Daffodil Day, and we have a very pretty girl on the ad offering a daffodil to a man. The man walks past, smiles, shakes his head, and keeps walking. And it says, for some people, cancer is not this easy to ignore. Well, for the medical industry, cures seem incredibly easy to ignore.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's their survival. In fact, let me tell you something. This is part of old history, but in the early days, which we are talking about maybe 26, 27 years ago, see, because the idea started in 28 years ago. I've been working on this for 28 years, trying to push it. Well, at those early days, the small group that was part of the technical team of the company decided that we should really contact the medical establishment and work with them. And that was the plan. I never intended to treat patients direct. So we contacted them, explained what we could do, what was done. And let me tell you, the people we first talked to didn't even have any idea that lasers were used for medicine. They were at that stage. Unbelievable.
Was this the Rockefeller Center in Little Rock?
Yeah, the one supported. But actually, it wasn't supported yet. It was just a medical school in Little Rock. And one of the things they said was, how are we going to justify with this, how are we going to justify what we have done so far? So they were worried about their face. We have done these things all this time, and now this simple thing comes around. How are we going to justify what we have done? That was the first question.
That's interesting because traditionally speaking, when people in position of authorities admit that they are wrong, what it does is instead of getting people angry that they've been wrong the whole time, it actually makes people admire them and be proud of them. Because they had the courage to do what was right, finally.
And admit to their mistake. But
they don't have the courage to lose all that money, though.
Yeah, but see, the second argument was, at that time, one of the member of the group thought that we could really treat the patient once. Instead, you have to repeat it three times, which is still a few days of treatment, but it's not one treatment. You have to repeat it three times, unless you're talking internal organs, but everything else, but I cannot treat internal organs. So he said, one day, one treatment, that's it. And the average price was $10,000, which I thought was kind of outrageous. But if you consider all the effort that goes into getting it to market, well, maybe. The reaction of the doctors was, we cannot make any money with this. $10,000 for patient, they cannot make any money with it. And that's why they didn't want it.
Now, what's the cost per patient? In order to charge $10,000, what's the cost of actually providing the service?
No, that's
almost,
to the patient.
Almost $10,000? Or
the patient, it depends how advanced the treatment is, okay? How many sessions of the treatment a patient need. The minimum amount is 3 sessions. And in the early days, the price was a lot lower, but then we started getting attacked, having all these expenses, so we increased the price. So now 3 days was $6,000, okay? And 5 days, which is the average. The average patient with an average tumor, and when I say average tumor, means average for us, not for the medical establishment. Average for us is about 2.5 inches. So it's okay. A very advanced case, okay? For the medical establishment, you're in trouble with a 2.5 inches tumor. But for us, it's nothing. And that's about 5 days. And it is $10,000. Now, it used to be less years ago, but as I said, all the trouble we have had, that's what it's become, okay?
So $2,000 a session sort of thing, if you were to break it down
similar to that. Right, total cost. Which includes the ultrasound, everything, the training, and consulting.
Now, that's total cost to the end user, only $2,000 a session to get rid of cancer, and chemotherapy is what? Ridiculous amounts. I heard in New
chemotherapy,
Zealand...
Chemotherapy is $24,000 per infusion.
Yeah, and in
people
New Zealand,
have to go for 6 months.
In New Zealand, I heard 25,000. But so you think about the amount of commission that's built into doctors' income with these prescribed drugs. And in fact, in New Zealand, the situation's much worse, where it is not illegal for medical companies or pharmaceutical companies, more specifically, to offer a commission based upon the sale of their drugs. So if you prescribe chemotherapy as opposed to something that will work, you get a something like a $5,000 commission or more from the drug manufacturer saying, thank you for using our incredible dangerous drugs that have less than a 5% cure rate. And by the way, that 5% cure rate that we say actually works and whatever is only defined as a cure if you survive 5 years of the treatment. Even if you die one day after, it's still counted as cured.
Very good.
The break at the MeEastwoodShow.com with Dr. Antonella Carpenter and her assistant Andy.
We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Runga, Tino Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so
welcome
we
back.
Have a stand. They paying their bills off your back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV, contrabands. So kids act up.
You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show. The show that is all about the uninformed public taking part in narcotic cures to nothing. I want to also welcome back my very special guest, Dr. Antonella Carpenter and her assistant, Randy. And we were talking over the break, and I threw a wild theory out at you, that the amount of money that people are willing to lose when they're at the end of their life and they think they're about to die, basically people will give up any amount that they have to. It's kind of like war and debt. If the amount of debt you get into determines whether or not you win the war, how much money do you loan? How much debt do you get into? And the answer is as much as you can. And similarly, if you are at the end of your life and you're facing chemotherapy, which is an incredibly expensive treatment, or doctors come up to you with a $75,000 this, that, or the other wacky-do machine, you'll pay it because you fear death. And that is why I think that palliative care, and more to the point, any type of life-threatening illness, when used by the medical industry, basically as a methodology of resource extraction. Now, whether or not banks are involved here or anything like that, I don't know. It's just a theory of mine that when people are at their very end, they are seen as an opportunity by financially motivated psychopath scumbags as a little gold mine.
Well, they probably repossess their houses, so that's how the bank makes money, after all the money that these people have put in the house. I don't know what's in your country, but let me tell you something. In the United States, if you buy with a 30-year loan a house that costs about $185,000, okay, which is about an average price here, at least in Oklahoma, not in California, but in Oklahoma, yes. At the end of the 30 years, when you get the house paid off, you have paid out $580,000. So, you know, the bank is making a killing. And then
that's a general rule of just being a bank anyway. It's like, hey, we can make money up. Let's make a killing. And by literally making it.
But right. Dr. Carpenter, didn't you say a few weeks ago on the oral, actually, you said it a few times on our Saturday show, that for every positive cancer diagnosis, the industry basically chalks up between 1 and 2 million.
Right, that's what it apparently has become about. A few years ago, somebody I was talking to that was involved in doing that evaluation said about 1.2 million. So I'm sure now it's gone up because the price of chemo has gone up tremendously. So, but one thing I wanted to point out, you said that in New Zealand it's perfectly legal to get kickback for prescribing the drugs. Okay, in United States is illegal, but there is a clinch which is a lot worse, okay? The drug companies sell to the doctor the chemo compound at a tremendous discount, which means 80% off. Like the doctor only paid 20% of the full cost. But he can turn around and charge the insurance company the full amount. So the doctor is making, not kickback, he's making a fortune straight out. And it is legal. And their excuse is, because the people that are treated with cancer they need so much care that it's expensive for us to take care of them, so we have to charge an amount of money. You know what they do when they have somebody like in the big MD Anderson in Houston? You know what they do to the patient that are taking chemo? They put it in this place, that in these rooms that are awful looking. They look like the circles of hell. You know, you're going down to hell from the top that is so luxurious. And they put them in these chairs. They had their own TV to look at. And they hand them a Coke. And then they hook them up to the chemo. That's the care. See? That's the expensive care they provide.
And of course, the only reason why people are even willing to fork out for that expensive care is because they think they're about to die. It's kind of like a con man. A con man walks into your home and says, I've got this. It's the greatest snake oil that has ever existed. It'll cure your cancer. It'll make your knob bigger. It'll do everything you want it to. Sells you it. Real expensive. You think you're out of it or whatever. And then he walks off with all your money.
Right. And then you die anyway.
Yeah.
See? But.
And of course, a dead person doesn't ask for their money back.
Well,
so they're the perfect scam.
Well, the thing is that by the time they're dead, they figure out the truth, but the relatives don't. The relatives, and I cannot understand that, the relatives still believe the doctors. I don't understand that. Some of the people that are attacking me was because I treated them. They were fine. I showed them ultrasound. No blood flow in the tumor. No blood flow means death. It's dead. Once you're dead, is there resurrection? No, there isn't. Well, they go back home. And they tell, but the lump is still there. So you need to see the doctor and see what the doctor says. And the doctor tell them, no blood flow means nothing, okay? Can you live without blood flow? No. So what makes you think that a tumor can? It can't. That's no life, okay?
Well, and they use confirmation testing based on the chemo method of treatment, too.
Oh, yeah.
Just totally irrelevant to what she does.
Right.
Yeah, But I think it's just the arguments about all of this become completely irrelevant when you look at the statistics. Okay, statistically speaking, what percentage of people wind up getting cured by mainstream medicine of any tumor or cancer? What percentage?
I think that is in the 90s. They don't say that, but that's what it is. Okay, because from what I heard from other sources, for breast cancer, the treatment is only 2-3% effective.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to walk up to you and just go, hey, dude, your life's in danger. Yeah? Can you help me? Well, I got a 2% chance of helping you and I'll bankrupt you. That's the best I can do.
That will be the truth, but they are trained into lying, and they smile, and they lie to you. Oh, this will help you. What are the side effects? Oh, no, they're not. But I read about this. Oh, no, they don't apply to you. No, you're too young, and you're in good health, so there's not a problem. Don't apply to you. And then, of course, what happens? They experience every single one of the side effects, listen. Every single one of them.
But you and can trust me. Why do you think they named the hospital after a saint? See, manipulation. They're getting into your religion. They're getting into your spirituality.
What they are doing is basically assuring the person that the treatment will work. And the person spends all this money, suffer, goes through the torture, it's agreed to be mutilated and all of that. In the end, didn't work. Oh, well, your cancer was really bad, was really aggressive. We couldn't stop it. We normally can, but your particular cancer was really bad.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that we serve you bleached white bread for breakfast with sugary jam all over it and have the diet... We have the diet knowledge of a kindergartner without a parent.
But by the time you get cancer, it doesn't matter what you're eating. Yeah. You have cancer, so that's it. And that's another thing that we're attacking me. See, once the cancer is dead, it's dead. I am not telling the patient, go eat at McDonald's, because that's really bad garbage food, okay, or any other fast food. But I tell them, eat meat because vegetarians are not healthy. You need to eat meat. You need to eat a healthy, balanced food choices. Please do not go into the thing of no sugar, because then you're going to end up having stomach problem. You can't digest. You have stomach acid out of control. You have to keep a diet like it was 50, 60 years ago. People were not getting that much cancer. Back then they didn't. And they were eating all these things. Now they do. What's the difference? Oh, it's a genetically modified and this and that. That might be part of it, but the big difference from yesterday to today is all the drugs. I mean, your pinky hurts, they give you drugs. Okay? The slightest thing and you get drugs.
Hey, drugs well, you know, for somebody who's an addict, this society would be fabulous, you know, waltz into it. I mean, and I love the whole idea of depression as well. I'm feeling a bit sad. Really, what happened to you? Oh, my girlfriend left me. Oh, okay. Instead of, you know, doing a little bit of talking and counseling and things of that nature to make sure that you get over. Let's just give you an incredibly dangerous drug that might make you commit suicide or murder your family, then commit suicide.
Prozac blues.
Right. Well, that's what they do. Do you know that's how they do it? And do you know that psychiatrists make more money by doing that, seeing the patient for 5 minutes and prescribe a drug rather than talk to them for 45 minutes? And that's why they do it.
Is this part of the medical training to, see yourself above the patient in a moral standpoint? I'm a doctor, I can do no wrong.
No, I don't think they even bother about doing anything wrong, because I saw a video of somebody that was talking and said, well, the idea, we still say the oath, I call it the hypocritical oath instead of Hippocratic oath, but anyway, it's hypocritical because they say, we still say that oath, but that is outdated, you know, first do no harm, that's outdated. We do what we can, and there are risks involved, and we make you aware of the risk, and then, you know, you decide. Not true. What they do is they tell you, yeah, there are these risks, but they don't apply to you. And this is what you have to do because there is nothing else. That's really what they tell you. And you have
basically,
to
that.
The only option is you have no option.
Right. You don't. And that's why they did the raid to us, to make sure that people with breast cancer have no option. Or skin cancer.
And they admitted that that's why they did the lawsuit, too, because after the trial, after the verdict and or the decision, that's what the plaintiff attorney came out and said. We can't collect on this judgment, but we wanted to do this to send a message to the people not to go to this clinic for treatment.
Mm. Well, that looks like monopolistic, anti-competitive behavior, simply protecting their business interests rather than anything else. Does that mean that medicine, the entire industry itself, is no longer in any way about healing, and it is now simply about resource and money extraction?
Absolutely. It's not about healing. Nobody gets healed. The best case, they do maintenance, and they keep you on drugs forever till you die. Maintenance, and when that fails, then they make you comfortable.
It wouldn't be practical.
They kill you with
doling out drugs that kill you instantly. It wouldn't be practical. They got to keep you alive to make plenty of money.
Well, that's why. See, that's why they changed the initial cisplatin. It's the first chemo drug. Okay, that was killing people too fast, and they were not making enough money. That's why all these drugs that have come out after that, all the chemo drugs that have come out after that, they were intended to kill you slowly.
And that came out of IG Farben in the death camps in Germany, didn't it?
Yeah, that was the mustard gas derivative. So it was the Nazi research. I wonder if people that took chemo realized that they were getting things developed by the Nazi. And by the way, no surprise, FDA now is a Nazi organization. They behave like Nazi. So, I mean, no freedom. See, the point was... that in our show on Saturday, you know, that's what FDA marching like Nazis, okay? Well, what it is that we say you're guilty of this, and in my case was I was guilty of adulterating drugs. I don't use any drugs. Well, the moment you use food coloring and saline for cancer, it becomes a drug.
Hold on, they said you're adulterating drugs? Were the drugs married?
Yes. And that's why I was adulterating drugs and using it. It's a drug because I use it for cancer. And it's adulterating because I'm mixing saline with food coloring.
You harlot.
Yeah. And I claim, I give false hope to people that I killed cancer. Oh, yeah, because nobody knows that heat kills human cells, right? That's why you cannot leave kids in the car. Closed car during summer under the hot sun. That's why. Because heat does not kill people. Right?
They spent all this money to try to prove that it was a chemical reaction taking place, when actually what it is a thermal, physical reaction.
Yeah, but they said the moment... But the claim is that the moment I use it for cancer, then it becomes a drug.
So, hold on. If I may, I used to have warts on my hands, and... I had liquid nitrogen popped on them, and it just basically burnt them off. They fell off. That's a very physical thing. Just bam, down, things gone.
Frozen,
not entirely dissimilar here, except instead of freezing it off, you're burning it off.
Yeah. No, but actually, it's not even burning, okay? Because I use the minimum amount of heat that will kill the cell without burning, making them pop or anything. So the cancer tumor is underneath the skin. The skin doesn't even turn red during treatment. Nothing. You don't see anything. But you feel the discomfort, and then it's sore the day after because it was cooked in place. But the minimum amount of heat to coagulate the cytoplasm of the cell cannot breathe and is dead. It's nothing to really burn it like powerful lasers. That's the thing.
See, and without the color in it.
That's actually the most important thing to recognize about this treatment, I think, is that you're not exactly putting yourself on the grill at a Tex-Mex restaurant or something of that nature when you're doing this. And more to the point, the alternative to having a slight increase in heat on a particular cancer cell is to make yourself sick for months and months and months and then eventually die and have a 2% chance at life after bankrupting yourself. We'll be right back after the break.
I stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder, incorporated, organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly, sneak parroting puppet gangsters.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com all across America and around the world. And we told a few jokes over the break here. I've been waiting to see whether or not Arnold Schwarzenegger will wind up getting cancer, and then the doctor will diagnose her, and you go, no, it's not a tumor. And the doctor gave a guy with cancer 6 months to live, and he said, but doctor, I can't pay my bill. So the doctor gives him another 6 months to live. And also, have you noticed that a lot of people don't have a terribly large amount of knowledge of their own bodies, their own health, that kind of thing? Well, you're actually supposed to, and you already do know your body better than any doctor will. And if you don't believe me, when you've got pain or something, go up to the doctor and ask him where it hurts. He won't be able to tell you, because it ain't his body. He has to ask you. Dr. Antonella Carpenter and her very special assistant, Randy, are my guests today. Oh, welcome back, guys.
So, what we were saying before the break, now with all this talk, I forgot where we were at. Do you remember?
Nope.
No? Okay. All right. Well, the other thing...
Sort of remember where we were, because I was about to butt in again. you were talking about the process about the heat from the laser, and I was about to interject that you do the same thing, do the same process with the same laser heat on untreated tissue, normal tissue that hasn't been treated with the color stain, and it'll do absolutely nothing. Only with the color enhancement does it reach the temperature required for it to die.
Does that mean the light spectrum? Well, you all know that light can carry heat, of course, because heat from the sun, the light. Yeah. Is that similar to what we're doing here? Because you need a particular hue of light.
Exactly.
Of color.
Well, a wavelength of light. That's why you use laser, because laser is a specific wavelength. You have to use a wavelength that is not absorbed in significant amount by human tissue, and so that is a particular range, you know, right near infrared, and there are different choices there or windows. But and then you have to have a compound that they call a nanotechnology, nanoparticle, all that nonsense. All it is a compound that has a molecule that is the size in the nanometer range and has to be a fraction of the wavelength of the light, which is also in the nanometer range. Okay? So that's all it is, but they call it nanotechnology because it's impressive and the way people will pour money into it. But you do not have to create a new compound. They are in nature, and that's what we used. That's it. And then the light is the choice, because it has to be a light that is not absorbed by tissue. Then the compound is something that will absorb that light. That's it. And not a drug, because it's not a drug reaction. It's very easy. Now, because we're using saline solution, is a natural product, it's not retained by healthy tissue. Healthy tissue will flush it out immediately. If you inject missing the tumor and you inject healthy tissue, will disappear immediately at water. And because we are water anyway, mostly water. And you use the light, the patient feels nothing. There is no heat. But if you inject it into the tumor is really suffering, because all the energy is going into growth, so all the metabolism of the tumor is slow, and it will retain the stain for quite a while. And then we'll be able to absorb it. It will retain it for a few hours, but certainly enough to treat the patient. And then the light gets absorbed, and the tumor only will absorb the light and heat up. And also because the amount of time involved is so fast that there is no collateral damage. There is no transfer of heat to the nearby healthy tissue to create collateral damage. So there is nothing other than killing the tumor. It's very painstaking by the provider, because you have to make sure you cover every single spot and also the surrounding area to make sure the ramification of the tumor are taken care of. And that's it. You're done, and you have to repeat it three times to make sure that you cover everything. And after that, that's it. The patient goes home, can continue working, he's not suffering, doesn't have any problem. If you follow our advice and what to do after the treatment, which is very simple, they won't even have any discomfort during the healing, and they'll be nothing significant anyway, and they'll be fine. But then there are people
Is it a relatively simple process? Like, would you be able to perhaps teach somebody else how to do this technique in a short period of time, or is it complicated and specialized?
Well, first of all, you have to have the right equipment, but also you have to have dedication to it. And I am telling you something, that doctors will not do it. They have actually stated, so that's too much work, too much effort. So in order to have other people to do it, is that's our next plan, and FDA was ready to jump on me. Where is your patent? Where did you file it? What is it? What is that any of your business? It's the next upgrade, and it's a robotic system. So all you have to do is set the parameter, and then the computer will do it. You know, we move the applicator of the light, and it will take care of it. All you have to do is somebody in the room, like a nurse, to make sure that the patient doesn't move away from the laser. Okay, so he's getting the treatment, and that's all it is with the robotic system. And that's what the industry is afraid of, that I come up with a robotic system and then that's on the market and then anybody can have it.
You want to tell Vinny, you want to tell Vinny about Bill Deagle and that show that you did a few years ago, and that special legislation that
it's so complicated, though. I don't know if you want to know that.
I haven't talked to Bill in a while. I'd like to see what he's up to.
The plaintiff's the plaintiff's attorney for this bogus lawsuit is a former Arkansas state legislator. And once we found out...
And the medical school apparently have been following my show for a long time, even though I didn't realize that. And one time I was guest on the Bill Deagle show, and I had found out about the Da Vinci system, and I thought that the Da Vinci system was something down the line of what I was thinking. It's not, but I thought so. And I said, well, that's great. We could use it for internal organ. We could use a Da Vinci system, okay? Well, the next thing, the legislature in Arkansas passed...
Just mere weeks.
Yeah, passed a decision to divert the tax funds to the medical school to buy a Da Vinci system. And then, of course, they found out I wasn't it. It didn't work, but... I found that out when I was at an expo in Dallas, and I saw the manufacturer of the Da Vinci system, and I saw how it worked and what it does, and it's not what I thought it would do and not the system I had in mind. So that was no competition at all. So they spent $1.6 million not for what they wanted to do, but that's part of the whole soap opera, you know? And you were saying, let's have fun. You know, up to last year, before the conclusion of the phony lawsuit, I was really laughing about it. We actually had on a radio show, like a soap opera, teasing the trial. We really had a good time with that. And then they actually went ahead and did the trial, violating the Constitution and 14th Amendment, all of my rights. And then they came up with one-sided jury, like in a dictatorship, come up with this ridiculous... amount of money that I should pay. It was just absolutely absurd. Then I lost my sense of humor, okay? I didn't start laughing. I haven't been able to laugh. And then I was trying to recover, and then the FDA comes around. So it's not a good thing. And by
taking... took all your money, and then you lost your house just last week.
My equipment, so I couldn't make any money, and the money that I already had, and yeah. I lost my everything.
It sounds remarkably like a Johnny Cash song, except it's when the FDA comes around.
Right. Yeah, the FDA is another. Well, it's, you can say the Nazi came around. It's the same thing. The Gestapo came around. They behave the train, just like it.
The train coming around the railroad track is the FDA marching in.
Yeah. But let me tell you something. They were acting really weird, and I was asking questions, and at one point I was looking at this guy, because I'm on the level, what they say is ridiculous, and I was asking a question looking like straight in the face, and he told me to stop doing that, not look at him in the face. He didn't like that. So you know they were guilty.
There's the other thing. Psychopathy I think is something people need to be incredibly aware of, okay? Like, intricately aware of. Because particularly when you're dealing with educated people, and this is how school works, you're either one of the popular kids who's a cunning, manipulative piece of trash, or you're one of the intelligent kids who is a regurgitating, unthinking piece of trash. Those are the two people who will get the A's. Those are the two people who will be voted most likely to succeed. Those are the ones who go on to be your doctors, lawyers, legislators, and other assorted scumbaggery filth that wind up ruling society, okay? Those who can't think and those who don't care about other people and are capable of manipulating them. So whenever you're getting advice from a politician or a doctor or a lawyer or a financier or anything like that, understand the methodology of psychopathy. They don't care about you. They are very good at imitating emotions and imitating people who care, but they don't really care. They're often very nice, smiley, happy, and enchanting people when you first meet them, but ultimately have very little depth to their character and no long-lasting relationships. And even the American Medical Journal, I read an article out of it a number of years ago, saying that these types of people are likely to be located in three industries: business, entertainment, and politics. What would you say are the three most controlling and damaging things to society right now in terms of industries? It would have to be those three. And now we kind of know why, because that's where the psychos who don't care about anybody, who wind up screwing everything up, gravitate to. They've usurped all that power.
That and law enforcement.
Yeah, but they clearly think that the medical is left out of it because they don't see it as a business, but it is. They don't see it as a business.
That's right. Indeed. And haven't you noticed how interesting it is? Even if a medical psychopath starts exposing psychopaths in other industries, he doesn't let people know, hey, I'm a psycho too. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with hour number two. Radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation, where everybody has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb in order to help the economy. And when we end the show today, just like Arnold Schwarzenegger's tumors, I'll be back. Yeah. In the Vinnie Eastwood Show social chat. So if anybody would like to join us after the show, which happens in about an hour's time or so, you can go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com chat room, pop in your Skype name or add me as a contact, and after the show each day, we have a little social chat. So you can have a talk with me or my guest, if they're willing, to stay and what have you. Okay. Mostly the idea behind this is we've all got copious quantities of options of social networks where you post stuff and you do this, that, and the other, but very little of the time do you just get to, I don't know, hang out with just very cool people who've got a nice sense of humour, and generally the people who listen to the show, those are the only kind of people who keep listening.
We're lucky enough to have COINTEL stalkers, too. That's the cool thing about it.
Oh, yeah, sure, yes.
We've had them for like 3 years now.
It must be comforting to know you're at least not going at this alone.
Well, actually, we even though a lot of people understand what's happening, we get little support. So we're out there at the forefront and not much of a backing. See that they say we're all in this together, and we are. And is if what's happening is affecting everybody, and our company being raided, yeah, sure, is a tragedy for us. Has been for me a total disaster. 28 years of my life down the tube, but except for the lives that I saved along the way. But what I am saying though is, it's not affecting just me; it's affecting everybody, and that's what some of our patients are complaining. We have the right to choose. We have the right to have choices.
And every time we try to get articles and things up in the social networks bringing attention to Dr. Carpenter's situation, you turn around 5 minutes later, there's an article about Rick Simpson and everybody just floods to it, you know. Or an article about Stan Brzezinski and everybody just floods to it. There's an information machine out there, and that machine does not want anything to do with covering Dr. Carpenter's story.
Hey. There's a lot of that going around.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm just saying people need to fight for their rights. That's what I'm trying to tell them. It is your right to have a choice, to do what you want with your body. You have that right. But you have to fight for it, because just because you have that right does not mean that other people will honor it, especially people in power. They will not honor it unless you force them to. So you have to fight. Fight back. Stand up and fight. That's what I keep saying. But it's hard to get people to... I can say that I am a modern freedom fighter. I'm fighting for the freedom of people to have a good life, a healthy life, not succumb to... They're not succumbing to disease, they're succumbing to treatment of disease. And that's what they have to understand, that those are the wrong treatment. They are intended to make the company... the pharmaceutical company super wealthy and the AMA super wealthy, not the people. And I think the whole thing is stupid, because if everybody's sick, where is the tax money coming from? You know, think about it. Everybody's sick, is on medication, cannot do this, cannot do that. Well, where is the tax money coming from? And that's the tax money that goes around. And I'm trying to convince people that, yes, the pharmaceutical company are very wealthy and very powerful because of all the money they have. But whose money is that? That is our money. We gave him our money.
It's like somebody going, oh my God, this bathtub is filling up, when you're the one who can just turn off the tap.
Right. I mean, and you cannot make him see that. You can't, oh, well, you know, you can't fight the drug company because they are so powerful, they have so much money. Well, I'm telling you, you can fight them if you stop buying that garbage. They are not going to be doing that well. And they will not be so powerful, and they cannot pay lobbyists in Washington. They cannot buy politicians. So you're in control, but they don't see it that way. What do I do if I am sick? Well, what was your sickness caused by? Like, for example, with all the years I've been dealing with patients with breast cancer, I can tell you the causes of breast cancer. Oh, what's the cause? We have to study. We have to do research. We have to do this. No, they are drugs, okay? They are medications that cause breast cancer. And each type of cancer is different medication that causes it. Now, breast cancer is, by the way, one of the major is oral contraceptive, hormone replacement therapy, and thyroid medication. You know, people that are low functioning thyroid, they have hypothyroid, and even that is questionable if they have it. They're given this medication and then develop breast cancer. And it happens all the time. And I found out that a lot of people are on hypothyroid medication they really don't need. They're put on that medication. And then, of course, the problem of breast cancer shows up. And you know, the cause of breast cancer is what? Mammograms.
Well, and brass.
You
have a look at Dr. Sid Singer, and he's been doing this for quite a number of years. I had him on the show a few weeks back, and it was extraordinary. He really has put it down. You know how it pinches you around the other side of your breast and constricts your lymph nodes? Cancer. You know how thermographs they detect the hot spots, and that's the kind of cancer in the breast. Well, what's happening to your breast when they're completely encased in a bra all day? They're getting warmer than usual, breeding ground for cancer. So on and so forth. There's a lot of different things that he's come up with. And I try to encourage women now, since I've found out that information, to take off their bras. And it's not because I like to see their boobies, although I do like to see their boobies, so I don't see anything wrong with it. But it's more the fact that, basically, a lot of women don't even like wearing their bras. They're uncomfortable, they're gougy. And to find out that you don't have to, and more to the point, to find out that when you do, not only does it actually damage your breast by in general, like you'd normally build muscle under the arms and on the sides of the breast that would actually hold them and support them as is. But if you wear a bra, it's kind of like walking around with a wheelchair. Your legs just simply deteriorate. There's no muscle left in them, that kind of thing. So there's nothing to hold you up when you want to stand up finally. A very similar thing happens to the breasts. But yeah, man, Sid's thing. I absolutely recommend looking into his work. It's quite extraordinary.
I don't though. I didn't see that being a cause. The other cause I saw, and people don't like to me to say that. Okay, they don't like when I say that. They get really mad at me. But it's true. Another thing that causes cancer, or my past for cancer, is breastfeeding, and people have a fit over that one. But it's true, because you can get clogged. Ductal carcinoma is very common, and you can get a clogged duct, and it would never develop into cancer, but because they use PET scan, it's clogged, there is an inflammation, they use PET scan, and they tell, oops, it's cancer. So there, all sorts of testing, and then it turns into cancer. And the more
You did mention birth control pills, did you not?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Oral contraceptive, yes. That is, and all hormonal replacement therapy. You know, the younger women get breast cancer because of that. The older women get it for hormonal replacement therapy. But in hypothyroid cases, they get it at any age. And it always happens. And also women that have breastfed. I mean, it happens all the time. And they hate me for saying that. Oh, no, that cannot be because that is natural. Well, that might be. But it does cause, and maybe if you leave it alone, it will not develop into anything, okay? And it will stay there and resolve itself. But because they start with all this mammogram and all this PET scan, MRI, and then they end up, oh, and the other thing, oh, MRI is not a problem because there is no radiation. Gee, you know what? There is no radiation, but it's a very powerful magnetic field. It's like you're going and sticking your head in a cyclotron. Would you do that? No. Would you go to CERN and stick your head in a particle accelerator? I don't think so. That's the same thing. You know, high magnetic field. It's crazy.
Yeah.
People do that.
It is. And have you noticed that who was it? I forget who, but she wrote a book called The Dumbing Down of America. And it's so apparent now that the American population, above almost every other Western population at this point, is the dumbest group of people on the face of the earth. And it's not their fault, because their entire system ensured that it becomes almost impossible to be an intelligent person. And even if you are an intelligent person in America today, if you go over to, say, Europe or New Zealand or Australia or anything like that, an intelligent American seems like a moron.
It is. No, but anyway, do you remember that song, Green Day, I Don't Want to Be an American Idiot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But because that's what they do in school, they are trying. Oh, you have to be like everybody else, and you have to be kind of average. If you're not average, you're in serious trouble. That was happening to me in Europe, too, though. I mean, if you're not average, if you're different. I mean, come on, people think Einstein never got a regular degree.
I neither did I.
I couldn't sit in a classroom, okay? I did, and I could handle it. It was annoying, but I could handle it. But, I mean, that doesn't mean... Yeah, because of the stupidity and the controlling method. And see, the majority of my education, the main part of my education, was in Italy. So I did other degrees later, but the main one was in Italy. When I was in high school, and Italian high school is not like the U.S. It's like college for the U.S., okay? But one of the classes we had to take was religion. And we had a priest teaching that and talking about trying to control you and brainwash you with the nonsense. And they couldn't do it with me. And I was considered, oh, well, she's terrible. Because I never follow any of it.
You got to be really irritated with those people who don't blindly follow instructions and go on to be willing slaves and serfs of scum who can't think for themselves, you know? Oh, those independently thinking creative people who are capable of advancing humanity by actually discovering things that all the random idiots who don't actually think for themselves in any way, shape, or form can accomplish, can they, you know?
Them damn intellectuals.
He's using one of the voices he was using in the soap opera. But see, the thing is, we were having fun last year and then it was all ruined. But the thing is that I tell to the patient, they said, oh, okay, I trust you. Please don't you dare say that. Don't trust me. Don't tell me you trust me. Tell me that you understand the science that I'm explaining. If you go to the website and read the explanation of our treatment, it's so obvious, so simple, so straightforward. The science is explained clearly and easily. There is no doubt about it. There is no doubt that it works. Don't say if it works. Oh, well, you say so and I trust you. No, don't tell me that. Tell me that you understand. And I try to explain it really in a simple manner. And people should know that. Why, when you live in... I don't know how hot it is, but in Oklahoma, where you are, but in Oklahoma, it's very hot in the summer, okay? So why people don't have black cars? Because it gets heated twice as much as a white car. That's why. You cannot have a black car. It's impossible. If you have your car parked in a parking lot under the sun all day, after work, you can get in a white car, turn on the air conditioning, feel better. If you have a black car, you have to turn on the air conditioning before you get into the car because you cannot get into the car before. It's just impossible. It's way too hot. That explains that my method works. We turn the cancer cell into a black body that absorbs the light. That's it. That's all it is. And then because it sits up, if we reach 134 Fahrenheit, then a human cell dies in 15 seconds when exposed to 134 Fahrenheit. 134 Fahrenheit is not enough to really burn anything. It's not enough. You might feel some discomfort, but it's not really burning anything and it's not burning the collateral tissue. What it's doing is what is called coagulation necrosis. It's killing the cell by coagulating the cytoplasm. And since the cytoplasm contains the lungs of the cell can no longer breathe and dies. That's it. It's very simple. And it's all explained in our website. So why? And plus, we have picture of results. So why people don't see that?
So it's sort of like it does to an abnormal growth cell what extreme heat does to a normal person. Like, oh, it's too hot. I can't think. Yeah. I can't move. I can't do anything. I feel like I'm going to die of heat stroke. You don't get burned.
And some do die of heat stroke, but they don't get burned. Mm. See, some do die. Too.
Because nobody burns death from heat stroke, do they?
Right. So.
In fact, that's basically what you're doing here. You're using the laser to give the tumors heat stroke.
Right. And that's what it does. It's really simple. I mean, how can it be any easier? Oh, we're doing the testing and it shows. And I'm telling you, that's why they tell the patient, I'm going to do a biopsy. I'm going to do a PET scan. A PET scan does not tell you that you have cancer. It tells you you have an inflammation in the area. And they assume to be cancer because cancer needs more nourishment, more vasculature leading to it to bring nourishment.
And based on the old model, where everybody's treated with chemo, if the inflammation is absent, then it was successful.
Well,
I heard that also when they're taking, say, biopsies and things like that, cervical cancer or whatever, when they take a biopsy out of the cervix, it can actually damage and cause the cancer itself. Is that true?
Yeah, it's a trauma can cause cancer, okay? But the issue is that when they do a biopsy, they look under a light microscope. It's not that powerful. They are looking at not at the cytoplasm of the cell. They are looking at the nucleus of the cell. They see in one nucleus different nuclei because it's in constant growth, not one, not two, several, okay? And then they say it's cancer. they don't even bother looking at the cytoplasm. Is it normal? Is it coagulated? What is happening there? They don't look at it. And that's why when they do a biopsy after our treatment, they see the cytoplasm. See, when you kill it that way without burning, the nucleus remains intact. We'll go after the break.
Indeedy-doody. Dr. Antonella Carpenter and Randy, right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream, just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go, in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And also, for those of you who enjoy the shows and wish to have a look at the backlog of a pretty incredible and amazing guest that we've had, please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and up on the top left-hand corner, right next to the home tab, is Radio Archives, and we have two bunches of quality for you. We have 64K audio archives and 32K audio archives at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. So please enjoy those and send them out to your friends and family. You can download them for free. And I also want to make a quick announcement. If you are capable of subscribing to the Vinnie Eastwood Show for $5 a month or more, please do. Just paying the bills every week is a consistent thing, and it's only a very, very small amount, and we'll give you access to commercial-free archives that get uploaded every day about the same time as the regular archives. Saves you about a half an hour of listening time per day, which at the end of the month, probably about 10 hours of listening time is saved. And regardless, even if you don't enjoy the archives, I've even got people who subscribe who never even listen to the show because they don't have time, and simply do it because they know that I need support to keep doing what I'm doing. My very special guests, Dr. Antonella Carpenter and her assistant, Randy. We've only got two segments left here, and I want to assure people, we had somebody asking in the chat room about Dr. Carpenter's credentials, credibility, and such like that, and I just wanted to assure that she's nothing like Einstein, okay? She combs her hair, and doesn't have... and she also has actual qualifications. Like Einstein ahead.
There's also some people singing the praises of black salve and cannabis oil.
On the chat.
We run into that everywhere, though.
Okay, we have always
talk about black salve for a little while, why don't you?
Before I do that, I like to say something about one of the comments about qualification I've had in the past was, what does a physicist know about medicine? Well, first of all, physics is the ultimate science, the one that explains everything. And medicine is part of the life of this universe, or this planet anyway. So that is also covered. Nothing in medicine can happen that violates the law of physics. So yeah, it's just covered, all covered. And studying medicine, which I've been doing for years once I got involved into this thing on my own, certainly not in school, because I don't want to learn how to prescribe. That's all you do in school. You become a walking prescription pad. I really did it the right way, not the walking prescription pad type. So I've been studying for years and years trying to figure out how to deal. I've studied naturopathic medicine, tried to figure out what it is that they tell the patient to do and what is wrong with what they're saying. So I've been doing this for years and years and years and working with patients to see the results and try to improve their healing process. So no one has that, because doctors go to medical school. I study all these years, and then now I'm out there doing it and making money. Well, a physicist gets a degree, but it takes 30 years to become a physicist after you've gotten your degree, okay? You have to continue studying for the rest of your life to be become and be a physicist. And that's what I am. Those are my qualifications. One of my professor years ago said, a PhD in physics is a license to learn. And that's what I have done. It's a license to learn, and I have learned. So those are my qualifications. About the Black Sabbath and the wonder of Black Sabbath. And by the way, saying that I'm a fraud means that people cannot read and they cannot observe what happens in life. Because even the Weather Channel in the United States tells you, do not leave dogs or kids in your car, because the temperature of the car under the sun can reach 134 Fahrenheit. Not your body, the room temperature, the temperature in the car, and a person can die, okay, with 134 ambient temperature. What we do is we have the tumor reaching 134 Fahrenheit, so there's no way it can survive. So there, so much for fraud. What is a fraud is doctors that tell you that a poison can cure you of cancer. That is a fraud, an absolute lie. About the Black Sabbath, you don't have to spend the money, outrageous money. It's pretty expensive to buy the Black Sabbath. Go to the store, buy muriatic acid, put it on the tumor. It's the same effect. It doesn't kill the cancer, but it corrodes the tissue, makes it fall off, and then maybe you're lucky enough that got it all. And then you have a horrible scar. And in most cases, it makes it spread like wildfire. That's what a Black Sabbath is. It's natural, it's found in nature, but it's like muriatic acid. Nothing
now, can
more.
I ask you? In physics, if you're doing an experiment that goes exactly the same way every time, do you rely on luck or chance of the draw or anything? No. But the medical establishment, on the other hand, that's almost all they have.
And
if you're lucky, you'll survive.
Right. And you know what, turning back to Einstein, you know what Einstein said? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different outcome is madness.
Multi-million dollar research project shows that this may be effective.
Maybe. And we need a lot more research and a lot more money. See? Now, that's what I was saying. If I show you three cases that have the same results, scientifically speaking, that's it. It's proof, evidence that what I do works. The theory is in place, it's correct, and then the result, empirical results are there. The empirical results by themselves mean nothing. You have to have the theory behind it first. And we do. And then you do the results. So only three results with the same outcome should be enough to close the subject. It works. End of the story. No. And in fact, we had 12 patients that were ready to testify. No, those were eliminated, brought down to 6. And then out of those 6, only 4 were allowed to make a deposition. And then what happens? No, those depositions are not valid because...
Prejudicial.
One of the patients was an MD, okay, that came for treatment, and she stated she was successful, she had no problem, she was fine. No, she's not qualified to talk because she's not an oncologist.
An MD is not qualified to give a defense deposition.
A patient, okay. Another one, well, she really doesn't understand what she's talking about, so she doesn't qualify. And another one is, well, she was not breast cancer. She was thyroid cancer, so that doesn't apply. And another one, what did they say? Oh, she was too old.
This is how they work. What was it? You listen to a million pieces of information, and instead of listening to a million pieces of information and taking it in, what you're really listening for is one thing that you can possibly point at that possibly might be the reason why all the other 999,999 bits of information that you ignored are incorrect.
Right. It's just any excuse, OK? Okay? And what about the failure, the disaster in a standard treatment? Oh, well, but, you know, the cancer metastasized. The cancer does not metastasize. That's another thing. Cancer is not systemic. The alternative practitioner keeps saying it's systemic. It's not. If it were systemic, you would get a whole bunch of tumor all at once in different places. And you don't.
Yeah.
And then is cancer metastasized. Really, what they say is the breast cancer metastasized to the lungs. Really? And that's after radiation. They do irradiate the breast. Radiation does not stop there, even though they claim it does. Ionizing radiation goes through everything unless your ribs are 12 inches of lead. Okay? So they're not. So it gets to your lungs and you get lung cancer. That's not because it metastasizes from the breast. It is caused by radiation. You get liver cancer, liver metastasis. No, that's caused by the poison you take. The chemo you take that destroys the liver and can cause cancer. And you might not even be able to distinguish whether it is cancer or is it destruction of the system by poison. So, and it's, then they say,
what is the idea? Bait and switch, and the and the Hegelian dialectic all over again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Create the problem, come up with the solution, and the solution is obviously to give me more money or power, or both,
and more cancer.
Yeah,
and more cancer.
Well, no, give you more cancer, but give me more money and more power for giving you the cancer.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, but they've always solved it. They've always covered over the metastasis, the cancer that is bad, is so aggressive, we couldn't stop it, and you have metastasis. Well, I don't know if you follow the news in the U.S., but there was a news anchor of Good Morning America, Robin Roberts, that had breast cancer 5 years ago. And, of course, she went through the gruesome treatments that are offered by standard treatment, and she was given she's a survivor. She did fine. She recovered from cancer because it's 5 years. Well, guess what? They found, they call it preliminary, you know, pre-lymphoma. It's not. It is full-blown lymphoma. But see, because it's lymphoma, they could not blame it as metastasis of breast cancer. They couldn't pass it for that. They could. So they had to admit that it was caused by the chemo she took. Okay? And now, what are they doing? And she's a mess. She thought she could continue working and she had to go on leave. And now, what do they resolve it? The problem with chemo. More chemo. Okay? Because they have to totally... See, the only solution for her now is bone marrow transplant. And the bone marrow transplant consists of totally destroying the bone marrow she has now. So massive chemo, which will make her open to all sorts of infection. And then after that she no longer has any bone marrow left, and then they can give her the transplant. But she is subject to all sorts of infections. She has to be in, like, in a bubble, isolated, and maybe she'll survive. Okay, maybe. But it's tremendous suffering. And that is only caused by the cure for cancer. So you have something as simple as breast cancer, and she ends up in this mess. And then they, of course, I am the fraud, right?
Yeah. Oh, you've got a real fan.
The bigger the problem they create, the more it costs you to fix the problem they made.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bone marrow transplant is veiny.
You got a real fan on the chat, Dr. C.
Really? What is he saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He says he's suspicious of you because you have referred to Albert Einstein. And he says that he basically says you have to be a fraud because you said that black salve is not a good thing. Because the original black salve that came from Dr. Hoxie is a cure, and he claims to be a first-hand testament to that.
Yeah, I'm a fraud. And what kind of scar do you have, buddy? And you're lucky that nothing else, it might not have been, I don't know what it was, but I'm telling you that you're missing a chunk of tissue. And if you're lucky enough that yours didn't have really ramification, you might be able. But I have seen the results of the black salve, and it makes the cancer grow like crazy. And why, by referring to Einstein, I'm a fraud? Okay, would you prefer that I refer to Marie Curie? Is that better? Marie Curie developed the first X-ray machine. Okay, so the X-ray was possible. Okay, when she was trying to help World War I veterans that had shrapnel, in her body. So with the X-ray machine, you can find where the metal was instead of doing investigative surgery and cutting the people up, trying to find it. She was using that. She went to the hospitals and tried to get the hospital to use it. You know that she was thrown out. They told her she was a flake. The only reason why she succeeded is because people gave her a car, and she got her machine into the car, went to the front, to the MASH hospital, and she did it directly to the veteran at the front, and that's how she succeeded. She ended up getting a Legion d'Honneur from the French government. But the doctors called her a quack and a fraud, and they threw her out of the hospital. So, yes, okay, if you don't like Einstein comparison, I don't see what's wrong with that, but and then there you have it. Marie Curie went through the same thing. And she was a professor at La Sorbonne, and doctors still insulted her.
He says this Einstein was a fraud, and he wonders why you continue to refer to him.
Einstein was a fraud? That's why it took people 25 years to understand what he was saying? 25 years to understand the theory of relativity. It was not a fraud. It just the fact that now people think that you can expand the theory. And let me tell you, the research at the CERN.
Someone is saying that he plagiarized. Somebody's suggesting that he plagiarized, I think.
Yeah, right. The proof of that? Okay. I know that his wife did most of the work, but that's in the mathematics. Work, but that's another issue. Okay, that's
But that's real similar. You know, my muscles does most of the work. I also wanted to talk about, we're going on to a break in a second, and when we come back, I want to talk about a little bit of self-censorship. You know, I don't know if this will actually apply to you, because, well, basically you get censored in everything and you don't need to self-censor, but I normally give you the opportunity to say, go ahead and, like, say whatever you want, you know, the darkest, scariest thing that'll make people think you're the craziest person that has ever lived, but it's what you think and it's what you believe to be true, and it doesn't matter what people's opinion of you, it doesn't change what you think, unless, of course, they give you some facts which changes what you think. We'll be right back after the break. Yes, we'll be right back with Antonella Carpenter.
Broadcasting live from the top floor of the Rockefeller Research Foundation, where we are, where we concoct copious quantities of medical apparatus to brainwash the public into thinking that being sick and being a moron is really good for your body and your mind. That's why we give Nobel Peace Prizes to people like Barack Obama, my very special guests. They're going to be joining us for one more segment here. It's Dr. Antonella Carpenter and her very special assistant, Randy. Welcome back.
Look out, I think we got a Southern Italian.
We do? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Sicilian, sorry.
Yeah, but, yeah. You know...
I'm not quite Sicilian. I'm just silly.
Oh, you're not the godfather?
No.
Do you know that joke we have on our website about this radiation equipment for cancer, and then there is Corleone from the movie The Godfather, and then the guy that was the undertaker that was out thanking him, so we changed the script, and it says, thank you, Mr. Corleone, thank you for helping my wife. She is dead, but so is the cancer. And that's what happens. We start the treatment. The person is dead, but so is the cancer. So that's it. And about the stupid comments, I'm sorry, but the blogs are really stupid.
Hi, Michelle, how you doing tonight?
Yeah, right. I know it's you, the blacks have a pusher. Did anybody say glyconutrients?
No, not yet.
But what I'm saying is,
what is your theory? Your theory. That's what we have.
Yeah,
to
my
have.
Theory.
What is your theory?
My theory is hypothermia, which has existed since the beginning of time. Okay, and it's a fact, not theory of mine. It's a fact that tissue dies with heat. Okay, now you don't have to burn it. course, burning makes a mess. You don't have to burn it. It still dies with heat. And that's my not theory. Those are facts. And that's what I gave you. Now, how to do it? Well, it was just an issue to find it so you kill just the tumor and not the person. Because if you use standard hyperthermia and you go to a temperature that is certain to kill the tumor, it's also certain to kill the person. So you have to make sure that only the tumor heats up and not the rest of the body. And that's what we do. And that's the end of it. And it's not my theory. Years ago, one of my patients that had a degree in biology came to me and got the treatment.
I'm sorry. I got to throw this in here because, Dr. C, you're going to love this. We're already overrun with too many arrogant foreigners as it is. I just thought you'd like to hear that.
Now, that's funny because any American who goes anywhere in the world is the arrogant foreigner. Now, yeah. I can assure you of this. And the pronunciation is real terrible, too. Have you noticed? We've all got to have a little bit of humility. Okay, and be able to admit that we don't know what we're talking about, and also essentially make an attempt at some point in your life to understand just how important it is to be wrong. Okay, being wrong is a good thing. It really, really is, because it means you're on the first step to being correct, or rather correcting your wrongness. However, if you think that you're right all the time, you are 100% wrong. At all times, right? And at least that's my perspective. Now, we wanted to close out the show, of course, by allowing you to kind of speak whatever bit you want. And I think this might actually be a decent topic as to, say whatever you want about all the people that criticizes you. I don't know. But it's about self-censorship, and there's certain things that we don't say because we're on radio or on TV or whatever, and you know that there's people listening who might not comprehend it, or the judge or the host might get a bit judgmental. Perhaps this is the place where my listeners are real, real smart cookies. They'll understand you to a large degree, and I'm pretty non-judgmental. So if there's anything you'd love to say that you kind of never really get the opportunity to because of the risk involved, go for your life.
I don't worry about risk, because what I say is the truth, is the scientific truth. The arrogance has nothing to do with it. It's just knowledge, okay? Arrogance is a different thing. Arrogance is a physician when it says, this is the gold standard, and this is what you need to do, because this is what we have done for 25 years. That's arrogance, okay? But if you have something that has a basic science behind it, you have done the experimental work, you have confirmed everything, you're telling this is it, and it's pretty easy to understand. As I said, one of my patients with a biology degree said, understanding this, biology 101. So if you have not had biology 101, then of course you don't understand what I'm saying, so go away. But if you have had a minimal amount of biology, you can understand what I'm saying. And even for people that didn't have it, that's why I put out that video, that show, and I've been criticized for it tremendously, about the egg. You're cooking an egg. The pan is not warm enough. You throw the pan, egg into the pan before it's time. What happens? The yolk is intact. But the egg white clouds up, and it gets that opaque white color, okay? Now, if you understand that the lungs, the ability to breathe, in a cell, just like the egg, where in the yolk, not in the yolk, they were in the egg white, which is the cytoplasm of the cell. If you cloud it up, it can't breathe anymore. It is dead. Yes, the yolk is intact, but that doesn't mean, and that's what happens with the PET scan. It shows the nucleus intact, but the cytoplasm is damaged. They just don't look at the cytoplasm, and they say the nucleus is intact. The egg yolk is intact, so therefore the cell is alive. No, it isn't. You have to look and use the right testing. And this is not arrogance, this is science. It is arrogance when you say something and you don't know what you're talking about. There is an old Italian saying that goes, first think, then speak, because words spoken in haste produce damage and pain. And that's what you're doing, producing pain in people that are thinking, okay, this is nonsense because somebody said it. No, it is somebody ignorant, doesn't have any idea what he's talking about, and said something just to appear important. You just have to go and get an education. And then, and that's why I said, first get an education, then come and debate me. Okay?
Somebody's going to lose. Well, especially
if they do get an education,
Simoncini.
Well, I was just going to say it'd be interesting, you know, if they did get an education, they'd definitely lose because the education would teach them everything that's wrong.
I know, and that's the sad part about it. Everything in medicine today is wrong. It's only based on using drugs, not worrying about what that drug does. Can I resolve that problem with the drug? Yeah, you might be able to, but what about the 10 other problems you're creating that weren't there before? Oh, that doesn't matter. I'm worrying about resolving this. See, that's what allopathic medicine does. Naturopathic medicine is not supposed to do that, but they also don't know what they're talking about. Okay, so, and that's because they study medicine. I didn't. So I have an eye for what is really going on out there. My mind is not being confused by wrong information, just convenience, financial convenience, and all of that. Obviously, I didn't have any financial convenience in what I did. I wouldn't be in this situation today. So, and I really get upset when people throw out of their mouth some statement because it bothers them what I'm saying. Well, first investigate the issue. Find out. Get an education. Isn't hyperthermia something that has been around forever? They just could not do it right? Because if you go beyond 41.5 degrees C, you are gonna die. Yeah, the tumor dies too, but Mr. Corleone, thank you. My wife died, but so did cancer. Okay? That's the same thing. You have to find a way to raise the temperature of the tumor only and not everything else. And that's what we are doing. Simple as that. No nonsense. And please don't give me the foreigner arrogance and all of that. Education is not arrogance. Arrogance is ignorance talking, pretending to know. Mine can be found in the books. That's what arrogance is. As far as foreigner, we are all foreigners somewhere.
Yep.
United States is based on people came in from somewhere else. So we're all foreigners, if not in the U.S., somewhere else. And even
now
American,
we're insurgents.
People that say I'm an American, so, you know, I'm a native. No, you're not a native, okay? You were brought into the U.S. Even American Indian are not native. They came from somewhere else.
It's a similar thing to New Zealand, you know. It's ironic in a country where everybody who is in this country currently is an immigrant somewhere around the line because you couldn't get here otherwise. and yet, funnily enough, we have a large, strong bunch of xenophobia and racism. It's like, man, I hate myself because I came to this country from another place.
Point was, I believed the U.S. propaganda about how great this country was and all the things, liberty and justice for all, malarkey. I really was fake propaganda but brought me here. So don't you dare, this foreign is your fault that I'm here because of your lies. Okay? You shouldn't have lied because the things that happened to me in this country would have never been done to me in Europe. Okay? As bad as Europe is, they would have never done what was done to me in this country. It's just disgusting.
Hey, and I have one more joke before we go. You mentioned Green Day, and do you want to be an American idiot? Well, what did Green Day do when they get cancer? They have emo therapy.
Emo.
I don't know, but.
And you know, the people with the dark eye makeup and they wear black and all of that kind of stuff. It's a social group kind of like a goth called an emo. It's an offshoot. So and that's the fashion that Green Day tend to subscribe to. They're emos. So if they get cancer, they'd probably wind up getting emo therapy. Okay, well, thank you very much, guys, for coming on the show today. Do you have a website of some description you can plug just quickly?
Yes. Go ahead.
LaseMedInc.com. That's LaseMedInc.com. And MedicalConspiracy.com. Just like it sounds. There's a change.org petition. We need signatures.
Please sign the petition. Let's put an end of this dictatorship.
Cool. And if you guys have a spare 15 minutes, we'll be starting a call with the listeners in about 5 minutes, so you can talk with them for a few. All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Join us in the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and we'll be getting started right away.
Thanks, Vinny.